Get Pucked.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Get Pucked podcast. Vito, Matt, and Dave here with you. And something big happened. Sean Monahan has been traded. He has been traded to the Winnipeg Jets for a first-round pick in 2024 and a conditional third-round pick in 2027 with the conditions that the Winnipeg Jets have to win the Stanley Cup. We're going to talk about it right now and break it down. A little bit of context, just for the sake of saying, we had just an hour before the Monahan trade dropped, recorded a 40-minute episode all about Sean Monahan and the trade and the what ifs and whatever. So that all just got invalidated. So here it is. Here's our reactions. Gentlemen, first reaction, raw emotions. How do you feel?
Go, Dave.
All right, I could go. I mean, I'm not too impressed, to be honest. the going rate we talked about on the past podcast, we talked about how the Lindholm might affect the market. Now Sean Monahan was only the real last center, one of the last centers available at the trade deadline. We know a lot of teams are in the market for depth centers, especially to shore up their cup runs. And you heard that there was interest around the league for Sean Monahan. And then, I was arguing the fact that you should wait till the closer to the deadline in order to make a move and maximize your return. And then as it just seems like you rushed into it. Like literally the day later, okay, I'll trade Monahan too for what everybody said was the bare minimum of a Sean Monahan trade, realistically. Because I don't see the Jets winning the Stanley Cup. My apologies to them, their fan base, or whatever. So realistically, what this is a first-round pick. And realistically, what it is a pick around 25 to 32, probably most likely 28 to 32, depending how far the Jets go. It's just, to me, it's underwhelming, the return. It's a little bit, I just don't get it. I don't see a world where he gets less than that closer to the deadline. He would either get this exact trade or something better, in my opinion. So to me.
Go ahead.
To me, it's just a puzzling move a little bit. Maybe he was scared of the injury factor or whatnot, but you can't live your life that way. That's a terrible way to go if you're Kent Hughes. I don't think that's the way you should be managing your team. And it's underwhelming. It's good. Look, you're going to look at a big picture. Okay, two first-round picks for Sean Monahan. I get it. But that second pick should never factor into the present trade. That is old news. It's past. It's in the past. And to the team that's acquiring Sean Monahan, it has no effect. They didn't give up that first-round pick. So it's not added into the cost. So to me, it's just a little mind-boggling. And just a little bit disappointing.
Okay. Vito, what's your take on it?
I'm going to be the guy who's going to look at it as a whole. If you look at it from the day they acquired Monahan from Calgary, if you start from there, then everything was great. It was fantastic asset management. However, if you start from just where Dave said, where it's literally the trade today, then and you compare it to the Lindholm deal, then it can be underwhelming for a lot of people. There is an important detail. There was no salary retention on this deal. It's important because Montreal only had one salary retention spot available, and it allows them to have the flexibility come trade deadline to maybe move an Armia or potentially move a Pearson or even a Jake Allen, if that's still on the table, and to be able to retain some salary to get an even bigger bigger package, which then looks, you have to look at it as the whole trade deadline as a whole. But I get it. I mean, Lindholm deal was just, a day or two away since it happened. And you look at all that, you look at all the assets and whether they're going to be in the NHL or not. And you look at all of that and you say, okay, at the bare minimum, that's what Monahan should get to do. Admittedly, I'm not crazy about the conditions on the 2027 third round pick. Not only is it very far away, but one to believe that I don't put a lot of stock in the Winnipeg Jets winning the cup. Could be wrong. Crazier things have happened with cup runs lately, but I just don't like that conditional pick and the conditions that are on it.
It makes no sense too, because it's if the Jets win the cup, then your first round pick is even worse. It's the worst possible first round pick you can have. So I don't know. And to me, it's just like
I gotta take a stance on with both of you. I know it's a silly way to do it, but I'm going to try my best because I see what you're both saying, and I think it's representative of the fan base in a whole right now with the reactions that I've been reading. Number one, yes, it's hard to not look at the entirety of the fact that at the end of the day, Kent Hughes got two first-round picks for Monahan. Coming through and playing 74 games for the team, he got a first round to take him, 2025. Now he's got a first round in 2024 for dishing him out. When you look at it from that perspective, you can't ask for better asset management. A lot of the insiders, a lot of the people in the industry have come out and said that this is a masterclass from Kent Hughes. You can't actually disagree with that. Truly, you can't. I got a now take from a Vito stance, which is to say, or rather, I think maybe it was the Dave stance. When you look at it, you got to look at what the guy, you're not looking at the same Sean Monahan that you took from Calgary. It's not the same guy. I know it is, but it's not the same guy. He's rehabbed. He's played the best hockey he's played in years in this past season. He brings intangibles to your team. I know that's a polarizing word for a lot of people, but it's true. His presence is important.
And I think got about your first round pick.
But I don't like what's the first round pick? It's not a top 10. It's not lottery. It's not one of those. It's a bottom pick right now. It's 30th.
Okay, so let's just hold
presently the 30th overall pick.
Let's just hold that because I did some research. Okay, I did some research on the third. I went. Let's say they're in the 30th position. So I went to 2014. Last 10 years, 2014. Yeah. Okay, the last 30 overall pick, John Quenneville. In the last 10 years, he's played 42 games, has two career goals. Nick Markley, 2015. Has played 41 games and has four career goals. Sam Steele, okay. Arguably, you could have a good, okay career, 306, 39 career goals. Then there's Eli Tolvanen, okay. 230.
Okay, Tolvanen's not bad.
Tolvanen.
Not bad.
But still, he has 54 career goals. He's having a good year.
It's often than not you're missing.
John Beecher, Maverick Bourque, Joe. Well, and then the rest have never played in the NHL because
it's I also think that it's just more it's another asset for them to leverage and use to maybe do other things. We don't know the puzzle's not done yet, so to speak. And I know I'm being a glass half full kind of person or whatever you want to call it there, but I'm trying to be a bit more on the positive side. But I want to look at the whole if we were able to look at Jeff Petrie and everything he brought from the beginning to the end, then you have to look at the Sean Monahan deal the same way. Let's see what it's going to bring. But if you look at it again, if the Lindholm deal never happened and this was the trade we got, that's and that was the first thing, how would you have felt?
I would be like, I'm kind of surprised that he pulled the trigger right away, but given his injury history and he's playing so well and someone ponied up what he wanted, which was a first, he got his first. But that doesn't change the fact that the Lindholm deal did happen, and it happened 2 days ago, and it set the market. It should have set the market. Now, are you telling me that Lindholm deal had to happen in order for him to get a first? This elevated him to a first? I think, like Dave, he was probably going to get you a first. I don't know. We tweeted it out just when it happened before the details became clear. At the end of the day, Hughes pulled the trigger now. He pulled it because he got what he wanted. He didn't need to wait anymore because he was comfortable with what he got, which means that all he wanted was a first, because forget the third. Forget it, because it's not even going to happen. It's ridiculous. He got a first, and he got a late first. Now, trade him to New York, trade him to whoever, it's probably would have been a first in that range anyways. So he figured his value is only a late round first. That's it.
Well,
I'm just surprised he didn't try to squeeze.
You nailed it there, because if you look at all the teams that were rumored to be in on the Monahan sweepstakes, if you want to call them that, it's all teams that are in and around where Winnipeg would be drafting anyways. New York, Colorado, Edmonton, Winnipeg. So you know what? If you want to look at it in another angle, of all the teams I just mentioned, who has the better chance of dropping a few spots to make the pick a little bit better? I would say Winnipeg. Sorry, Winnipeg fans, but in my opinion, you're not going to compare it to the Colorado Avalanche. They're just too strong of a team.
This better be the case. They're more plugged in and they know the true value. And he sat back and said, even if I push this to the trade deadline and knock wood, Monahan doesn't get hurt, how much more could I possibly get for him? How much more is the team prepared to do? Desperate team. How much more can I get than a first? Which, like we just said, it's interchangeable. 25 down to 30, whatever. Who cares? In that ballpark. How much more could he have gotten? An A-plus prospect? A B prospect? Could he have gotten a not ridiculous conditional second-round pick in his...
He probably would have gotten another AHL player to tack on to throw into LaBelle.
So if that's the case, if it wasn't going to net you something materialistically of value, true value, then you pull the trigger now, you get your first, you walk away, and now you got another first-round pick to use as currency to maybe move around in the draft or something. I don't think he's going to necessarily draft with this pick. I think it's going to be currency and move. We know, like you mentioned beginning, it's very important they didn't retain salary. Maybe the other teams wanted him to retain. Winnipeg said, nope, you don't have to. Allows us to keep that spot open for another move. That's a big deal.
There is a chance this draft that Montreal ends up having, I have to check the conditions and all, but has three picks in this draft. It's up to them to choose whether they want to take that Calgary pick for this year or next year.
Say they don't. At the very least, they have likely a pick in the top 10, and now they got a pick anywhere between 25 and 30. Maybe you can do it and do something. I get the initial reaction, though. I know a lot of people are, wow, two firsts. I get it. But right now, my initial reaction, I mean, we'll digest this and we'll see down in the future how things progress. I got to lean to Dave a bit. I'm kind of underwhelmed, a little bit. Not dramatically. I still think it's great. I just kind of seeing Lindholm and seeing the comparables, and I know they're not the same guy, and Lindholm is a lot more touted and sought after. We knew this. But just the first? Just? And now? To pull the trigger now? You're that scared of injuries to live your life like that, like Dave said? I don't know, man. I don't know.
Like, Anthony Mantha was like, there's a ton of players who've been traded for first round picks that are worse than Sean Monahan. Anthony Mantha got traded for a first round pick plus. David Savard got traded for a first and a third back in the day. You could go down Barkley, Goodrow, Cash, Jason Zucker. Like, all these guys have been traded for so much more than just a first round pick at the right up against the deadline. Those are all guys who fetched what Sean Monahan got. Like, Sean Monahan could have went for more. His cap is good, and he has that potential to put you over the edge. Why didn't they wait? To me, it boggles my mind a little bit. It's literally the day later that they settle on this move.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I just want to go back. I just checked the standings. Yeah, it's very unlikely that Montreal ends up with Calgary's pick this year, because if you look at Calgary right now, they're a bottom 10 team. So there's no way that
I didn't think that was going to happen, but I'll say two things about this. One, I love that it's the destination of Winnipeg, because we talked about this in the last the episode that's now not going to come out, about, you know, could he go somewhere and then come back in the offseason? If you were going to send a player to any team with the chance of them not wanting to re-sign being in that city and test free agency and then possibly come back, Winnipeg's got to be at the top of that list of areas that people don't want to stay in. I'm sorry, Winnipeg, but it's true. It's a rough city to stay in.
Can you argue that Ken Hughes did him dirty by sending him to Winnipeg?
Well, he said, Sean, you're going to have 3 months of freezing your ass off a little bit, but you have a chance. They have a good team. You could do it. And he said, bon voyage, good luck to you. So there's that.
I think I went to Calgary, then Montreal. So he's used to a bit of cold. Okay, mind you, it might be a little
Winnipeg cold. Winnipeg is colder.
None of them by choice. None of them. Winnipeg's colder. Montreal, I guess you could argue.
I'll say the other aspect of it. Think about it from this perspective. If you think about it for a second and you say Sean Monahan has to fit a certain team, his value's at an all-time high now, and he has to fit a certain team that's looking for bolstering their center position to make a run. It's a very specific niche market that he's in. If you took him and flipped him and now you got a first-round pick for him, everybody covets first rounds. I know that we don't want a late round first anymore because we're tired of it, but the GMs love this kind of stuff. So now you've actually changed your asset into something that's a little bit more desirable for a greater audience of people. So maybe now he takes this first and he flips it elsewhere and gets back a top 8 prospect. Potentially. Or he packages it together something. I'm just saying it allows for him a little bit more flexibility if you want to look at it from that perspective.
But that's not the argument, though, because I don't think anyone's in disagreement that he would have got a first-round pick regardless. It's whether he should have waited to get more. And so there's no – but like a first-round pick is good, fine. You got a first-round pick for Sean Monahan. Great. Like there's no debate. There's no debate in that, right? Like good job. Well done. It's whether or not he should have held on for more. And to me, he should have.
What's the more to you, Dave? Like I know you've mentioned in past episodes, like even if you got more and it was somebody that's never going to play in the NHL or another AHL player or another reclamation project or something, like what's the more to for you that would have been like, okay, I'm good.
Like just more, like another probably not another pick, but another asset that you could either flip or you could work with, or a guy who could give you a veteran. Like there's just something you should have gotten more of, like a first round pick to me. It seems not enough. It's just not enough for Sean Monahan. I get that probably whoever they would have got more, but look, like I can't really reference the past episode because you will never see it. But you talked about Kuzmenko, who like you scoffed at. You're like, 74 point guy.
Vito. God, I'm so upset. Okay. People won't see that.
I did not scoff at him. I said I don't believe that there's going to be a player like Kuzmenko involved in the deal because that player was included in the trade.
Yes.
To make the trade happen because of the money.
But you could find that in another team. You could find another team that's to the cap and that needs to shed some salary and trade a player like that. But it's just to me, you were kind of like quick to be like, he's not really a 70-point scorer yet, a point guy yet. So
no, I said he hasn't proven to be a season in, season out, 70-point player.
I agree.
What happened last season? Anyways, we're not going to get into this again, boys. People don't understand the context.
No, exactly. From the Kuzmenko breakdown. My point is you could have got a player like that that you could get back on the cap that you could make work within your own team.
They just wanted to shed the salary so they have more cap flexibility come trade deadline, come period. You know, it's extra. Sure.
Like who?
It's $2 million off the cap.
Okay.
You had to move him because you made a deal with him. So he's moved. Now, it's on the coattails of the trade with Lindholm, so it seems underwhelming. Yes, but you do got to let things play out and materialize the way that they're going to actually see how this really plays out. God forbid something did happen to him between now and trade deadline. We'll never know. Because now that he plays in Winnipeg, if something, God forbid, happened to him there, it might not have happened if he played here. So we'll never know. No. He didn't want to risk it because he had the value. He had him there and he was prepared to pull the trigger and that's it. Clearly, there's more moves coming. This obviously not that it was a secret hand, but he shows his hand now, Kent Hughes. Now the centers are like, your second center is who?
I don't know.
When he comes back?
Shows his hand? What do you mean by shows his hand? We're in a rebuild no matter what.
Well, I understand that, and I'm not saying that's what I'm saying. It's not. Well, it wasn't a secret hand, but I would have thought that he would have kept his players and his assets that he was prepared to trade closer to the deadline. Instead, he's opening up the floodgates now, a month before the deadline.
The Montreal Canadiens, he could have opened the floodgates whenever he wanted. The Montreal Canadiens before today had what, 21 or 22 picks over the next 2 years? They're rebuilding, showing his hand. We knew what his hand was, and anybody who thought, oh, there's a chance for the playoffs, you're delusional. You were delusional because even if you made the playoffs, where was this team going once they were in?
It's not about that. The important thing now is how soon after this has happened are we going to see the next pieces? Because I ultimately think that whatever the following trades are all lined up. It's like a domino. This happened. He's now gone. Now you didn't retain. So now you have a very strong case to be able to move Allen as a backup for a team going for a run and retain him.
Again, I would say that there's not – for the teams out there, there's not that much of a rush to go and acquire the other available assets the Montreal Canadiens have. It's not a rush yet. The center became a rush, so a team jumped on it right away.
Why? Why did a center become a rush?
Because there's far. It's not like he was sitting there. There aren't as many centers available as we spoke in that episode. We're not going to show, but there aren't that many centers available. The Lindholm deal kind of lit a match, basically. So, and with especially Winnipeg, with Scheifele being out, they don't want to risk any points lost in the standings or anything. So they jumped on it right away.
Is this a Winnipeg Jets podcast? I understand their rush. Why did the Habs have to rush?
Well, that's it.
Oh, you want him right now?
to me, what's
going
to
be, baby?
To me, what's going to be telling and what's going to be interesting is how much Adam Henry goes for. That's going to be telling.
I will say it's going to be soon. Everybody's rushing. Say this.
It's at least the first. It's at least the first.
What if he doesn't want it?
Yeah.
How do you view this trade now? Like, I guess we'll revisit that down the line. Maybe he won't get more. It's a different situation, different cap hit, different numbers, different everything, different.
Well, Henrik's cap hit is what, like 5 million?
Yeah. Well, that's it.
No, it's a different animal. You're targeting different people, and the trade is ultimately going to be different to accommodate the contract coming in.
Almost 6 million for Henrik.
It's a different beast altogether, and that's why I always thought that Monahan was more attractive.
Well, that's it.
He had the smallest cap, and it makes me sit back. And again, I want to teeter. Like the brain is saying, you got two firsts. Look at it macro. You got two firsts for Monahan passing through, playing 74 games. This is fantastic. But the heart is saying what this guy was doing for players in the locker room, like Slath playing on his line and the presence he brought. And he was that engine that was just really driving everybody on his lines, helping the team make that progression. You want your guys to play better. You want them to feel better on the ice. You want them to improve. Another first-round pick.
There's something that you have to consider too. Monahan's been going through maintenance days for the last, I don't know, 2-3 months.
I don't think he pulled a quick one and sold damaged goods. I think Monahan is just precautionary, taking time.
I'm saying that if he's going through all these maintenance days and you want to, you know, play a game of chicken and wait until as close as possible to the trade deadline, and then something does happen and you get another zero for him. No, more often than not, when there's a deal there and it hits, pretty much checks the main box that you're going for, you make that deal.
Obviously, Kent Hughes agrees with that because that's what happened. Because I can't see a world where, he's calling all the other teams around and saying, hey, Winnipeg just offered me a first. You gonna, Matt? Like, he got a first and said, I'm good. Thank you. Let's do
it. If he had a whiteboard in his office and it says, okay, this is what I think these assets can go for, and maybe I could get a bit more, maybe I could get a bit less, but at a minimum, I want X, Y, and Z for these assets. And right away, somebody comes and says, oh, okay, I'm willing to give you your main piece, the main thing that you want for your asset. Okay.
Yeah, but did Winnipeg say take it or leave it?
Around. Yeah. Like,
did he not call other teams and say, I have this offer on the table, are you prepared? There are teams out there that desperately need a center that have their first.
Okay, let's look at those teams for just a moment. Again, we're going to go to the rumored teams. New York. So New York does have a first.
Yeah.
They could have done it if they really wanted to. Maybe they didn't want to do it to the Montreal Canadiens because of the whole Jeff Gordon thing. We don't know. Okay? We're not there. Colorado.
We don't know anything. I'm just saying, do you think? We're never going to get confirmation.
If we got Colorado's first, we'd be even more disappointed.
But do we think that he went around and said, I have this on the table, and he called all the other guys that kicked the tires and said, this is on the table, will you pony up more? And every other team said no. And then that's it. So all the other teams that kicked the tires weren't prepared to offer a first-round pick?
Maybe not right at this moment. Or maybe they were willing to give a player that would have been another reclamation project. You know?
But then why not do that? That's still more assets. Why wouldn't you do that? If he did what we think a businessman and a general manager would have done, he would have called the other teams and said, I got it on the table. But this is the offer. Are you prepared to give me more?
And they all said no. First round picks in a very deep draft, even if they're 30th, are probably holding more value right now.
Go ahead, Dave.
Maybe a first round pick. Like, maybe he did go around and shop to those teams. The team said, look, I'm nowhere near making that decision. Call me back at the end of February. And then, you know, you're just like, I want to make it now. And you made the move now.
And that's it. Yeah, I guess.
There's a million factors that we probably don't see and don't understand. But just from what we know, and to me, I think you could have got more. Even if you put on your whiteboard and your vision board and this is what you want, you owe it to your fan base. You owe it to the team, the organization, the players to try to maximize your return and not jump on just the, hey, this guy hit on that. Because especially with the market changing move, like almost everybody agreed that the market changed yesterday when Elias Lindholm was dealt. And to me, That had zero effect on the Sean Monahan trade, which is odd.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Maybe the market changed that Sean Monahan was actually going to attract the first. Maybe before that trade, Sean Monahan wasn't going to attract the first.
We talked about this. I mean, we don't work for the Canadians, but we talked about this. I said, if you're not going to get a first for Monahan or a grade A prospect, you keep him.
Yeah,
you keep him. He's not worth trading. He's better value here. So you're always going to be asking for a first. Always across the board.
You can ask whatever you want. Your asset was the ask worth what somebody is willing to pay.
You said it best. You said it best just in the beginning of the episode. If Lindholm trade doesn't happen, we're all sitting here with smiles on our faces. I think the majority of the fan base would be like, we got the first.
Masterclass. Another thing is, even if it did jump from a second round pick to a first round pick, as you suggest, that's after what, less than 24 hours after the Lindholm move. Wait a little bit and see how much more it jumps in the span of, like, that's he just didn't negotiation risk 101. It. Like, it's he just weird. And yeah, to it's me, the injury it's thing. A guy who's scared of getting injured, who just wanted to be, who knows what his mandate was, right? Right? Maybe Jeff Molson was like, trade this guy right now. I don't want to lose this guy for nothing.
Let's hope that's not the case.
Of course.
No, I don't think that's the case. I would say, I think they're looking at it as a whole picture. We literally got two firsts and a conditional third and 80.
That's the way they thought, then I'm worried a little bit, because that was already in pocket, man. You can't look at a big picture like that to me. It's stupid, because that means that if you would have lost Sean Monahan for nothing, it's okay, guys. I got a first round pick for him already.
Yeah,
it's amazing. You know what I mean? So you can't.
I think the risk of what happened last year, I think because of what happened
last year, that's the only answer.
Looked and said, hey, we're getting a first now. If we wait a month, can we get a little bit more? What is it that we're going to get? An AHLer maybe? A person for Laval? Maybe somebody that could come and play a couple of minutes right now that we're going to have to deal with, and it's going to be more some cap space being eaten up for somebody that is not a part of our future plans. What does this asset that we're this first round pick do for us? It falls right in line with our next 2 years of this continuation of this rebuild before we say we're not ready to take the next step. Because collecting all these assets and all these draft picks over the next 2 years, to me, that's showing your hand. That's showing the hand that they believe that after these 2 years of getting these picks, they're ready to take the next step. And this pick falls in line with the next 2 years.
I think that's the summary exactly the way it is. I think across the board between the three of us, we've outlined pretty much why they did what they did. The injury factor is something that was ever present. He had an all-time high value that he was going to have now. He could have cooled off. You might have lost the first. He could have gotten injured. You would have lost everything. He saw a team was prepared to offer a first. He knew that it was going to be in the 25 to 30 range anyways. He pulled the trigger. They threw in some extra silliness for the third round, but whatever. He got his first. It's done. He's a gentleman with Monahan and doing the agreement, or the gentleman agreement that they had, that he'd move him to a contender before it was done. He did. Other players will take note of that too, because that story was leaked for an obvious reason. So everybody knows that he's a real player's guy, like we talked about last year. And to your point, yes, 100%. This is the plan. Monahan was great. We love him, but we didn't re-sign him. He doesn't fit the model for where we're going with the rebuild.
Let's be realistic. I know, Dave, you said that pick that they acquired to just take Monahan back then is already in their pocket. How many of us truly thought after still acquiring Huberdeau and Kadri for Calgary, did we think that they would plummet as bad as they did, and that pick has potential to be even higher than what they initially acquired it as?
Yeah.
So that pick improved drastically.
It doesn't matter. You have it regardless.
You have it regardless.
It could be the whole world. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't factor into your price. The Winnipeg Jets are not saying, like, I'm going to give you a bit less because you got a bit more over there. It doesn't keep – the Winnipeg Jets don't give a shit about what happened over there.
And I got to censor that.
Sorry.
No,
but
you don't.
It's just like,
no, you don't.
It's just the premier said it yesterday. You're allowed to say that word nowadays. That's how it works. Anyways,
I gotta agree with you. I gotta agree with you.
You could have done the world for it. It should not matter into what you're doing future wise. It has zero
matter whatsoever. You know what? I don't think it did. I mean, clearly it didn't. At the end of the day, the big discussion was, can Sean Monahan net you a first? You have to put the Lindholm thing aside, because that's the only thing that changed the landscape. If Lindholm doesn't get traded yesterday, or the day before, whatever it was, and suddenly Winnipeg ponies up a first-round pick for Monahan, and this is the trade, everybody almost unanimously would have been like, they got two first. Awesome. Great. This is the best. Lindholm changed the situation a little bit, but it is what it is. Now it's done. Here we are. We'd love to hear what you guys have to think about it. This was our reaction for the trade. We'd love to know, do you guys think that this was it? The right move that Kent Hughes made at the right time? Should he have waited a bit more, try to elevate it? Should he have tried to shop it around a bit? Was Monahan worth more than the first? Or everybody's crazy, as most Habs fans do. We overrate our players, and we were absolutely lucky to have even gotten a first. Let us know what you think in the comments. And this was, as always, for Dave Vito Matt, a real whirlwind of
Get Pucked.